It is a Friday Fawcast. It's where we belong. Friday after work. When did we... We're at the Charterhouse Real Estate offices, by the way, in Ankeny, right next to the massage parlor. When we started... This is like... we're nearing episode 200. When we started doing the Fawcast, did we actually record these on Fridays?
Yeah.
We did?
Yeah.
Okay.
The question becomes, when did we switch and why did we switch? I don't know the answer to that. It's probably Gray's fault if I had to.
Or was it when I took the radio show?
I was thinking the other day about episode 200. Would this be a great idea or a terrible idea to have Gray back on number 200?
Seems pretty terrible to me.
Which one of our Twitter followers is a Gray lover? There's a couple out there that love him. They would love it.
They're all like his high school friends.
His mom? Does his mom have
burner accounts? It's probably Gray. Would it surprise you at all if Gray created accounts to tweet into us?
Would it surprise me? Maybe a little. I hope he's busier than that, frankly.
I think he is. Much love.
But yeah, no, 200 is in the... I think we figured out it's going to be around Christmas time. But you got to do something special for 200.
Yeah, I think so. We will.
Are we thinking Fawcast party?
I think that we should do another one, yeah.
What did our last cake say? We had one at, 150?
Didn't they do the cake wrong?
It was like Congerts or something like that. It was misspelled. You know, that's fitting for what we do here.
Congerts.
I don't know. I can't remember what it said. There was a misspelling on there. But yeah, so the good news is for Fockers out there that we're actually talking about episode 200, which means that we're not going away. I think, though, that we do have some plans in the works. I think some people miss our old intros. We have an intro coming back that's in the works. I think we're gonna have some nice improvements soon. I think. A little birdie told me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fine.
You're not exactly refuting it, so.
No, I we're always trying to make things better, and the most important thing is the industry has evolved.
Yep.
And we have a lot more people listening to all of our podcasts now than we did 5 years ago.
I'm turning down the air. It's really hot in there.
It is hotter than hell here at the Charterhouse Real Estate offices, and it ain't because of the massage parlor next door.
I apologize for that.
No, it's just like our podcast network, man. Like, it's interesting. It's really hard to monetize digital media in 2018. But like, you know, I posted this on Twitter the other day. Like, our site traffic, like the amount of different people
through the roof
getting on our website.
Yeah.
Is up like 27% compared to a year ago at this time.
Now there's
that's 365 days versus 365 days.
There's a lot of potential reasons for that. Some people might point to, even though basketball wasn't great, general success of the program equals more interest. But do you think it's due to something else? Has the content just gotten much better from what you guys are doing?
For example, like when we first started, and I'm like kind of an analytics geek, so tell me if I'm getting too far in the weeds here.
All right.
But it used to be when we, you know, when I took over Cyclone Fanatic, like our content was like 5% of the traffic.
Yeah.
And like 95% of the traffic was on the forums.
Mm-hmm.
Now that number is closer to like 40-60.
Okay.
So that's great for us because, I mean, we want people on our forums, and that's... I still think the forum's the best part of Cyclone Fanatic because people can...
Or the worst, depending upon the topic.
It depends on your viewpoint, but I think it's great that an Iowa State fan can go on there and sell a ticket to another Iowa State fan, or they can ask about what lawn fertilizer they should use, or it's a cool community.
I think
that's the best part of our site.
People want to have a say.
Yeah.
And that's what it allows.
Yeah, and it's a safe spot for Iowa State fans, period. And I love that about it. Because you don't get that. It's something you don't get from Twitter or Facebook, right? Like, anybody can enter that conversation.
Well, those things, yes, are not as much of a safe harbor.
Correct.
Obviously, there's nothing to stop a Hawk fan from getting into your forums and trolling if they want to.
I just think people have changed a lot more in the sense that they want like niche coverage of their team.
Yeah.
I'm a guy who, you know, I subscribe to all the newspapers because I'm trying to support the industry.
Yep.
But I must say, like with my fandom, I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan. I generally go to the Minnesota Vikings SB Nation page or the blogs before I go to the Pioneer Press.
Yeah.
To get Vikings information. I don't go to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution to read about the Braves. I go to Braves.com. The reason I do this is because I don't really care about the Phillies, or I don't want to go to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and have to read about Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
I think that people have just really come to we used to be like frowned upon, like these yep. fan sites, where now I think we're more mainstream, and I think it's finally kind of catching on.
Well, you're clearly not just a fan site because of the access that you have to the coaches.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
for all intents and purposes,
we're a media outlet.
You are. One thing I've wondered about too, is there an equivalent? So assuming that you think that what you guys do at Fanatic is really, really good, is there another university, another sports team that has the equivalent of what you guys do that's really good?
I'm sure that, yeah. I mean,
you think about like Hawkeye Nation, which I don't think is as good, but, you know, other than them.
Like Texas A&M has a really good site. I'm sure there's some out there. And I'm sure that there are more popping up now in the sense that the networks aren't what they once were. For the subscription stuff.
Yeah.
Like Rivals as a whole isn't nearly the beast that it was when we took over.
Yeah.
Scout doesn't even exist. 247 does really good stuff and they have money behind them with CBS. Yep. But, you know, they kind of started to bloom in an era where a lot of people already had their spots, right? So, yeah, I'm sure there are others out there. The Texas A&M site comes to my mind. I mean, Hawkeye Nation. Came around a little bit after what Cyclone. They have a harder deal because there's a million Iowa sites.
Yeah.
And like these people, it's kind of like going to your dentist or your veterinarian or your insurance company where it's like once you get established in a community, you don't like the switch.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like. And that's why you just got to treat them well and do a good job and keep them around.
When did Fanatic start?
Jeremy started it, I believe, in 2004.
And when did you come on?
2009.
So when that first started, it was just a fan site. A fan had basically started a site.
Yeah, it was just a message board.
When did it gain legitimacy where you could call a coach and they would say, yes, we'll talk to you? When did that occur?
Around 2009.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, because before I took the job, I mean, I called Iowa State and we had conversation and I was like, hey, like we're coming and this is going to happen and we're going to do it with or without your blessing. And they were awesome to work with. They knew me because I had worked for Scout for so long.
Yep.
So it helped that they knew that I wasn't just some like hack in my mom's basement who was gonna. And really the biggest kicker when it comes to credentials and stuff, it's like, is this your full-time job? Like, is this how you make a living? Is this,
sure.
Are you trying to do good work? Or are you doing this because you're a fan?
And you want to get down on the field.
You want free tickets to the game.
Yep. Yep.
And I think the fact that they knew me was huge, and they really never fought it. I mean,
so you didn't ever face resistance at all? That the fact that you weren't the Register, the Tribune.
No, I did. I mean, even to this day, like I don't get basketball seats where the mainstream ones.
Why do you think? Why do you think that is, though?
Because of that.
I mean,
it's still like this stigma.
Yeah, but
dumb. I don't care though. I really don't care. Like, I'm not gonna bitch about it.
I mean, I would argue that you should because your coverage is much more in-depth because you can be much more in-depth than a Randy Peterson can because he's got other stuff he's got to cover, spend time on. I realize it might be his beat, but it's just he's not, you know, it is your livelihood. That's what you do. You know, you think they would, and your seats are fine.
I don't,
like in,
I don't,
in Hilton
it's
and stuff.
It's not about the seats. I'm not bitching about the seats. It's more about the, because you asked, like, do you still... Now, what's interesting is the fact that while it might be that way in the minds of a couple of people, I think that if you would quiz 5,000 Iowa State fans, they wouldn't think of it as less of a product because we're not mainstream.
Yeah.
I think we are mainstream now, don't you? If you were to go through the lots of Jack Trice...
What's mainstream? I mean, I think... obviously, if we can, like we did a few weeks ago, if we can go get a football coach to sit down with us for an hour, that has to be mainstream. That a coach isn't going to do that for something that he thinks is a joke.
My
right?
point is, like, mainstream in your marketplace, which we're digital. Okay? So, like, are more people reading, or as many people reading our stuff as any other Cyclone outlet?
I would think so.
So would I. I mean, I don't know their numbers.
Yeah.
And they all do good work. I don't want to, like, bat, but I'm kind of defending our product in the sense that online, digitally, if we're not mainstream, then I don't know what the hell it means to be it anymore.
Well, that's a question that's a generalized question now in society anyway, and you hear it all the time with mainstream media.
Do I even want to be mainstream? I don't know if I want to be.
Well,
I kind of like having my own little niche and being the little guy.
Here's my problem with what we hear now, and you know, I won't get political, but you hear fake news, you hear mainstream media, you hear all of that. And it's become what used to be mainstream
yeah,
media.
It's
okay, I think
now.
That was Walter Cronkite. I think that was your Dan Rather. It was your Peter Jennings. I mean, those were the guys that you're like, okay, this is where you go for legit news. And then you had your national newspapers. That would have been the mainstream media. My problem with the way people perceive media now is that if an article that might be 100% true, and maybe that specific reporter took a lot of time to investigate it, and it is accurate, doesn't appear in the right spot, people immediately dismiss it as not being true. That's the problem. So if people viewed you as not mainstream, that would mean, your content is lesser than whatever else. And that isn't true either. I think you can get extremely valuable and important news anywhere. But it just lacks a certain credibility in some people's eyes if it doesn't appear in the right spot. And in your case, that might be it's not in the register, so it's not as good.
You know what I think the biggest thing is, Mark? And I think over the last year, I think it's finally hit me.
Yeah.
I think what you do with your content and how you present it is very important to do it professionally, to do it ethically, all that stuff. You know what I think is more important, though, is having a connection with your audience where they know that you care about them, you care about the product, that they can reach out to you and communicate with you. I think that's why this podcast has been successful.
Yeah.
I think that's why if I write a column on Cyclone Fanatic and I post it on our forums, I'm going to respond to the people who
say something
like it or hate it.
Yeah.
And I think there's value in that. And I think it keeps them like if that columnist from the Washington Post writes a story about immigration and posts it, I mean, how many times are they responding to the comments section?
Almost never.
You get where I'm going then?
Yeah.
Because I think that I don't know, man. I think a lot of times, like, the community feeling, people really strive for it in 2018, especially millennials, and I think that there's value in that.
I agree with you completely, and you can use that in any industry in that, in a sense, whether it's real estate and what we do, or it's a restaurant, or it's what you do. Ultimately, your customer, in this case your readers, everybody wants to feel valued. I think that's universally true. You want to feel valued. That's why when you go to a restaurant, and let's just call it Burger King, right? And you drive through and the person is grumpy and doesn't say anything to you and hand you your food.
I can't take your order.
Yeah. You're like, okay, this person not only hates their life and hates the fact that they work here, but they don't give one crap that I'm here eating here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Versus you compare that to the restaurant, and although this can also be annoying, you go up, you're eating, and the chef comes out and asks how you're doing, or the manager comes by, how's everything going tonight? You like the fact that they care. You like the fact that they're asking, right?
Yes.
It's just engagement. People just want to know that you care.
Correct.
So when you respond to things, that's good. That's a good business move. Even when it's haters.
Yeah.
Which happens occasionally.
More than occasionally. I mean, when you give opinions for a living, basically, which is my role now, that tends to happen. Now, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this as a fan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you would be interested in this.
Yep.
Because I've really been kicking this around. Do you ever, like, want to go back to your roots, in a sense, where it's like, instead of being CEO of Charterhouse, like, you're the guy on the ground, like, showing homes?
I think the desire to do that is about having a life that's simple I think that's where the desire comes from. For me, I can only speak for me.
Well, I have like a really burning desire this year to get back to like my reporter roots.
Yeah.
Trying to break more story, like actually like digging in, and because all I've been doing really since Gray left, is I'm the business guy
selling.
I've been doing, I mean, in site development. I mean, people can't see it, but there's so much change in digital media. I spend 80% of my time working on Cyclone Fanatic on behind the scenes stuff that people don't see.
Bugs on the site.
It's nonstop. It is a 24/7, 365 thing.
Yep.
I have this yearning to go back and report on the teams day by day. Mm-hmm. Just for a year. I just want to do it. But I don't know if that's really the right role for me right now either.
Well, it probably isn't, because I think the site's popularity and survival definitely hinges on a lot of what you do. I mean, there's other talented people there, but you're the captain of the ship. Do you think you get burnt out quickly, though? I mean, if you're like, you're up there every day after practice and you're asking about to like, oh, so-and-so rolled their ankle today. What are you know, at some point I'm going to be like, this is boring too. I mean, if you were doing, and you can't do it on Iowa State, if you told me I want to go do investigative journalism because that's what I was trained to do and I love it, I would feel differently about it.
Not that. But I do think that I can bring something to the table in that sense. Here's the deal. When I started doing that, I didn't know earmuffs kids. I didn't know shit.
Yeah.
Like I thought I did. I didn't know it. I think I could do really good work.
Yeah.
If I went back and did that now.
Yeah.
Cause I never really did it like in an experienced fashion where now I have better sources. I know what fans want more.
One thing I hope that you do, and I won't actually say anything about what I think you should do other than to tease our listeners, unless you've already said this, is, When we were talking to Coach the other week, he brought up an idea outside of that interview that I thought was fantastic, and I hope that you do that.
That is happening.
And I think the fans would love that if that happened.
That is happening, and that's a good opportunity for me to scratch this itch.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about.
Yeah. So
that is happening, by the way. It's confirmed.
Okay. So I think the fans will enjoy the earmuffs kids. Well, enjoy the shit out of that when that happens.
And I've been doing it too with this Transfer U docuseries. I think I've put more time into this than I have anything in my career.
Yep.
I hope that people like it. I don't know, man. Like, I just like, there's two. Joel McRae, my boss at KXNO, is a great mentor in media world. I love him like a family member. And he kind of told me like a year when I was really stressing with Gray leaving, I knew we would be fine, but it was just like, the timing was horrible because it was right. Like, sales season is the spring and the summer. That's when you're selling everything.
Thanks a lot, Adam. Okay.
He and I are good. Like, he's still like my brother. But I was losing my mind because I just, you know, there are only so many hours in a day. It's just, you know, it was a bad deal. And he really put in my mind, and I think this is, if you're in a creative field, you should understand this. Your brain doesn't work together with like the numbers and the creativity. So if I wake up in the morning and all I'm doing is numbers and business and all that stuff, trying to keep it so we're paying Rob Gray and Jared Stanton, you know, like that's important. Like those people rely on it.
Yep.
Then it sucks the creative aspect out of your brain. And that was really happening to me, really, I mean, most of last year. And I'm finally getting it back.
Yeah.
And it feels great, so that's all I want to do.
I have times in this business, too, where it's like you do get in ruts. You're doing the day-to-day. You're focused on the day-to-day. And then you realize you might have that moment. It's like, what got me into this in the first place? What, like, for me to leave where I was to start this was scary. But it was also fun. It was
a challenge.
I got to find an office. What is the office going to look like? Who do I want to hire? What do I want this brand to be? What do I want people to say about us? What do I want the signs to look like? All of that stuff, right? Now I look at it today, a couple years in, I'm like, oh, well, somehow it all got accomplished and now we're here. But you miss the having that something to look forward to, to really dive in and really be creative with. So I think if you're entrepreneurial in spirit, you've got to find a way to constantly refresh that.
Yeah, that's a great point. Because the first 5 years, I mean, I've been at Fanatic. It'll be, so I got there in basically like August of 2009. So we're coming up on 10 years. The first, I don't know, at least 5 years was just building it.
Yeah.
Which I loved.
Yeah.
Like that was, it's just creating this brand and like we're always adding stuff to it, you know.
And isn't a little
and
bit.
Now it's like sustaining it and growing it, which
did,
is.
Did you get your competitive juices flowing then?
Oh, dude, I loved
for,
it.
For me, when I started, it was like, okay, it's me, oh. me against the world. And I liked
dude,
that part.
Nothing was better for me than when like, when I'd hear other media guys like, snarking at the fan site.
That'll never work. We had a, what an idiot.
We had a guy once. I'm not even going to name his name, but he was an irrelevant TV anchor in town. He's not in the market anymore.
Yeah.
But basically said that I needed to move my camera because I was just a little website.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he had the big 5 o'clock news coming up. You know?
Yeah.
I love that stuff.
Yep.
Nothing got me more fired up.
Oh, really?
When crap like that
oh,
happened.
Really, Swan?
Yeah. I loved it.
Here's a lesson to, man, I posted something. I wonder if I can find this thing. Let's keep talking on this. I want to find, this was like a photo that I posted on our site here a little bit ago. I want to find this because it had a quote that was pretty darn relevant. But it had to do with, as I'm looking for this to see if I can find it, it had to do with the fact that what you're talking about, when you start something like this, and this goes for anybody listening. I'm sure we have people out there that are thinking about starting a website or starting a business or maybe leaving a job that they're in now for a new challenge, etc. When you do these things, inevitably, you're going to encounter the people that say, that's stupid. Why would you do it?
Did you get that when you moved Charter House away from Remax?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
why would you do that? You're doing like, why would you leave things that are going well?
Yeah.
That's essentially, everybody understands somebody that's leaving something that's terrible and they need to get out of that situation. What drives somebody to leave when things aren't terrible and makes them want to take a leap, which can be scary. But for me, and I've said this before, for me, in life, the best stuff occurs outside of your comfort zone. I know a lot of people that go through life never want to get out of their comfort zone because it's scary as hell outside of your comfort zone. But think about the comfort zone in terms of, for those that are married, at some point they probably asked out their wife, right? But what if she says no, et cetera? And most people had to get outside of a comfort zone to ask the question, right? Did it turn out okay? Most people were scared as hell to have a kid. Okay, I don't know anything about a kid. It's scary to have a kid. It's going to be expensive. They got outside of their comfort zone and had a kid. Do they regret it? No. I mean, so the good stuff in life happens when we're willing to take that risk. Now, I don't blame people for not wanting to take risk because, again, risks are scary. But that's my two cents on it. You might feel a little differently than that.
No, I mean, so I had a really good job, believe it or not, over in Western Iowa. I mean, you don't have to make a ton of money to be a comfortable middle-class citizen over there.
Sure.
And I had a job that I probably could have kept getting promoted and probably run that company at some point. At some point down the road.
Yeah.
And then I took a $15,000 a year pay cut, lost my insurance, lost benefits.
That always feels good.
I was engaged. And I came up to start a blog.
Yep.
You should have seen the backlash I got from like my own parents.
Did you have
my wife? My fiance was like, "What?"
Yeah. What did she say when you told her?
Well, I mean,
this news.
She had mixed emotions because I was moving up to live with her.
Yep.
She had a year left of vet school.
You're gonna do.
But she
what?
Was like, "We're gonna live on how much money a year?" Well, I'll figure it out. I'll do some side stuff if I have to get a job bartending. I almost, like, for real, I'm not kidding. The first year I was up at Cyclone Fanatic, I was, like, this close, dude, to bartending at Chasers.
Yep.
Just so I could pay our rent. like, and then luckily a few things happened and I got a couple side gigs, like with the Register and stuff like that.
But if you're doing it right, then you don't mind that because you're chasing something that is worth it to you.
I knew what we were doing would work. I thought that the market had to catch up to us, which it still really hasn't, to be honest with you.
Yep.
There's still a lot of ad agents in town that the people who buy advertising for these companies.
Yep.
That they don't understand digital yet. But it's all analytics for them. It's all like click through rate and stuff like that. And I would argue with any last one of them that you're focusing on the wrong stuff there.
Yep.
It's more about, again, connecting with your audience. That's the key. Can you connect with people?
This was my, I found it. It was a meme, I guess, but the phrase on this says, "Goals so big, you get uncomfortable telling small-minded people." I like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because a lot of people out there are very small-minded and see you as existing in a box. And as soon as you want to get out of it and do something better with your life or something different, they're going to be the ones that say, "You can't do it, don't do it, shouldn't do it."
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones, unless it's your spouse, maybe you should listen to them. But the other people,
don't pay any
attention. And I even said on this, I'd posted on Facebook, the famous philosopher 311 once said, "F the naysayers because they don't mean a thing." If you remember that, that's a good one to remember when you're starting something on your own, because you're gonna run into those people. I guarantee you. So. Screw them.
That's the message from today's FA.
Should we move on to something really exciting here?
Sure. What's that?
Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
I do want to talk to you about something specifically.
Exciting.
I want your take on this.
So exciting that – did you see my tweet last night?
I did. I did. Listening to that on the radio?
Listening to the Braves on the radio in my garage is very therapeutic for me. I did it last night.
I'm with you. There is something very peaceful for me. It's usually in the car. As I'm driving, listening to the Cubs, I love it. Love Pat Hughes on the radio. It does make life slow down a little bit. But here's the problem with baseball.
Are the Cubs on in Des Moines?
Yeah, shut up, dude. Here's the problem with baseball. For me, it takes me back to childhood. It's nostalgic. It slows things down. But does the slowing things down thing not work today, or will it not in the near future? The stat I read today, there was an article that said. Baseball attendance is down 6% this year, which makes me think, here's the question I pose. Is baseball, and we're not talking in 10 years, it's still going to be here, but is baseball as it exists today dying, or does it need some drastic changes to make it better? And those changes are things like speeding up the game, maybe less games. 162 games is a long season. Would baseball be better if it was 100 to 125 games in a year?
So it's funny that you're bringing this up, because we are actually going to lead our show with this today.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Stark, I doubt that you've read this, but do you have a subscription to The Athletic?
No. I've heard good things about it, though.
He recently wrote a piece for The Athletic about like what baseball will look like in 2025. It all circles around expansion, getting to 32 teams.
Now, as in that's some recipe for success.
Yeah, it's less to do with adding two teams, and it's more to do with evening out the leagues.
The leagues, yeah.
Because I'm assuming, like, generally how this stuff works. Let me let you guys inside the curtain here of how media generally works. A guy like Jason Stark, who's been around for decades and knows everybody there is to know in baseball, he's not going to write this column unless he's got pretty good idea that there's a lot of this stuff, it's what they're shooting to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, things can change, but he wrote the column for a reason. His theory, they get to 32 teams, and they break it up into, you know, there's the National League, the American League, or it may not even be the National
Leagues.
League and America. They could just explode those. And it's more, there's 8 regions in MLB. So everything is more, like, it's strictly by who's closest to who.
Yeah.
And those teams are going to play each other more, et cetera. Well, the interesting part of this is they can take the schedule from 162 games down to 154.
Okay.
That basically shortens the season by about 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
A little less than that, about 10 days.
With off days and all of that, yeah.
And with that, his theory is you add to the playoffs. So each league has 8 teams in the playoffs. And you do, instead of that extra 10 days of the season, you have an extra playoff round, and they're all like best of 3 series to get into the playoffs. Everybody would have a DH. You'd have a league-wide rule on that, and then you could adopt some other stuff as well. I think it's really interesting. I think that I'm all about regional. I think that these college conferences that have completely gone out of whack, like with the Big Ten ridiculously adding Rutgers and Maryland to the mix, it's dumb. It was a cash grab. I think it made sense initially.
Geography matters.
Yeah, I think that going forward it absolutely does, when, especially in college. Think about if you're an Iowa State fan now. I mean, we used to be able to drive to Lincoln, Columbia, both Kansas schools. Even you can take a drive to Colorado if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got Kansas and Kansas State now. Those are really the only
close ones.
I mean, if you wanted to drive to Stillwater, you wouldn't kill yourself.
Please tell me this article included a section in which he talked about that blackout rules will go away.
There was nothing in there about the TV contract.
I mean, that has to end.
That's so stupid.
You know, it's really frustrating. Somebody pointed out, and this was true the other night, I'm not sure where it was on, but we grew up in a time where every Braves game, every Cubs game was on TV. The Cubs and Braves were playing the other night, and you couldn't find the thing. I mean, it's like, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
In this day and age, with all the channels that we
totally
have,
agree, man.
You have to be able to watch the game, and if you can't, why would you have fans?
I mean, why am I paying, and I still buy the extra innings, why am I paying for that?
So you can watch the Giants play.
Yeah, well, someone else, like, when the Braves are playing the freaking Brewers.
Yeah. Do you think baseball is hamstrung by the purity argument, which is baseball's always been this way, et cetera? I was thinking about another sport. What's the analogy I would
NASCAR
use for the other sport?
Well, the one I would use. It's very similar because you have an older demographic that wants it one way. Like, I think the sports.
Isn't the average baseball fan like 50?
That's the thing. And NASCAR is the same way. It's all old people.
Yeah. So my question is, people say,
and
well,
their ratings are both tanking too.
Baseball always was this way, so this is the way it is today. Okay, but am I not correct in saying that if the NBA had that same thought, there wouldn't be dunking or 3-point shooting?
Yeah, they evolved.
The game changes.
Yeah.
Baseball has to change.
I agree with you.
It's too, there's too much inactivity in baseball. There's too many strikeouts. There's too much time between pitches. There's too many pitching changes. There's too much where not enough's going on.
Buster Olney wrote a column this week suggesting that they have a rule where you can only use 4 pitchers per 9 innings.
That'd be interesting. What if they're all getting shelled? So be it.
Well, I think that, you know, he had in there has to be some exceptions to, like, blowouts and, like, rain delays and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's interesting. The pitch clock is interesting.
I think we're getting closer and closer and closer to automated strike zone, which will speed up games because you won't have – I mean, I've seen this year some atrociously bad calls at the plate. Not even close to being a ball.
Are you a
strike.
Baseball purist, or are you a progressive?
I want baseball
clearly
to
survive. Clearly you're not a progressive, but I'm talking in the baseball
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, I want baseball to survive, but the people that say things can't change.
It's not going
to
die.
There's been so much change over the years. Think about, like, where the fences used to be to where they are now. I mean, you had fields where it was 480 feet to center field, right? They brought it in because that sucks. People want to see home runs. You had an era in baseball where the pitchers were dominant, so they lowered the mound. Now maybe they need to do something like that again because you got way too many people striking out all the time. So
I think the analytics have really impacted baseball.
You can't lose sight of the fact that there's a point to the game. The teams want to win, but the point to the game is it's a business. And if you're not entertaining, people will stop watching. And I think you're already seeing that. I'm fortunate in that I back a team that every time I turn on the TV and watch a home game, it's full.
Yeah.
But Wrigley Field, you don't even have to be a baseball fan to go to Wrigley Field and enjoy it.
Well,
because
because
it's one of a kind and it's beautiful and it's in a neighborhood and it's just got so much else that makes it enjoyable to go sit in the stands there that people are going to do that and will continue to do that, right?
Absolutely.
The same thing doesn't exist 10 miles south in the same city. Right? Because their stadium, who gives a rip? There's nothing special.
Like, who wants to go
at all?
So does
baseball survive? Well, it's stupid to sit here and say, "Oh, baseball is
going
go
to
away.
Survive." Just like NASCAR, the sport's not going to die. Like, it's probably going to have to change, though. You're going to have to downsize some things. Baseball's in decent shape
now, NASCAR,
especially with CTE. Man, like, I really think 20 years from now, like, that is going to completely have changed everything. I'm not saying football is going to die. I don't believe that. But I do think that you're going to have better athletes playing other sports.
Let me ask you this. I heard this from somebody. This is a conversation I had. The CTE, I'm going to change topics to football real quick because I do want your take on this.
Okay.
And the only way to have this conversation is to ask a question that's based on race. So if you're sensitive, turn it off right now. So I was having a conversation with somebody that has kids that are between the ages of 15 and 18. Okay. And this person was more on the affluent side than not. And we were talking about what sports their child played. And it was sports that were what I'm going to call a little bit white collar. I mean, it was the golf. It was even rugby's caught on a lot recently. Rugby's way more popular now than it used to be.
Yeah.
Less concussions in that. Mm-hmm. Name a sport where maybe it takes some more money to play it. And this person's position was, as time goes on, you're going to have more and more and more and more parents that are especially affluent directing their kids in other directions, safer sports they can play longer in life, et cetera. And the people that are going to continue to play football are the ones that need it to get ahead in life, and you're going to continue to see that. Do you think there's any truth to that? Is football going to change, and the people that are going to play it are the ones that feel they need to play it to be able to get ahead in life,
and
that's their way out?
I think that's possible. I think that it's all about education, and I think the more educated the parents are, the more likely they're going to be. Maybe that, not that their kid can't play football, but we're not going to play him in fourth grade. That's the thing with me. Like, I mean, I don't have a boy, so I would never let my daughter play football, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah.
Don't even bring that up.
Have you ever seen a powder puff
game? If I had a boy, one, like, with all I know about it, and I've read a ton about it, I mean, I wouldn't want him to play, but if I wouldn't keep him from it if he's like in high school and he'd like to try it.
Yeah.
There's no chance in hell I'm going to let that kid out there bashing his skull against another kid in third grade or whenever it is. I mean, all the CTE research tells us to this point, and there's a lot to come out, and maybe we'll have some, like, they're trying to find like a vaccine.
It's a cumulative effect.
Yes, though. It's not the wide receiver getting blown up across the middle. There's a reason why of the studies we've seen, there's more linemen getting this disease than receivers.
Or linebackers that use their head.
It's the guys who are hitting, like, the teeny tiny little hits every single play.
Yeah.
Every single practice. And it all adds up over time. Like, that's the key. So, like, what I can't comprehend is how, like, with that knowledge, but keep in mind I'm educated on the topic, okay?
Yeah.
And that's why I think it all comes down to education on it. If you're educated on the topic, I don't know how you could sit here and look me in the eye and say it's good for kids to be playing tackle football when they're in fourth grade.
The counter argument, because I've heard it, there's two thoughts here. One, I'm a guy that played football up and through my freshman year of college, and I loved playing football. So it's tough to have a son and say I want to deprive him of that. But I can also see the safety element of it.
Didn't
know those things.
Like, that's the thing. Like, things change.
Yeah,
like, we used to think cigarettes were cool 25 years ago.
But the argument against the getting kids started early that I hear all the time, this is a real argument that people use, is that they don't weigh anything and they don't hit hard enough where there's no effect. That is the counter argument here. I'm not going to say that's right or wrong. I have no clue.
I don't buy it from everything I've read, and everything I've read says that the fact that they're not fully developed completely wipes that away. Like, their brains aren't prepared for that at that point.
So if you do end up having a son, would you be much more likely, if your kid was athletic, to say, go play lacrosse is gaining in popularity? When I'm with Seton at the baseball field, I see Ankeny high schoolers practicing lacrosse.
Absolutely.
Would you rather have them do that in rugby?
Sure.
Over football?
Yeah.
Because in rugby, the key to rugby is they don't have helmets, so they don't want to hit heads.
Yeah, no, and yeah, absolutely, I would. The thing is, and you said about getting out, like, there's a lot of young men, and that is true. Like, football's a way for them to thrive, and who are we to take that opportunity from them? I don't think the government should come in and ban kids from playing football at a certain age. I do think it's the parents' decision, but I'm educated on the topic, and I wouldn't want my kid doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a fine line between saying ban football, which I'm not there, and, like, let's just – can we wait until they're in high school? Meet in the middle?
Has the CTE stuff changed the way you view football?
Yeah, absolutely it has. And I almost feel guilty. There's parts of me that feel guilty about promoting the sport when I'm watching dudes
Do you feel that if you go way back – I believe this analogy. There was a time when people would pay good money to come into a coliseum and watch gladiators basically fight each other and kill each other to the death, and they enjoyed it. That was the sport. Is that what football will become? We know it's dangerous, and we still enjoy it.
No.
Or
I think that's extreme.
Will football be so watered down that it'll never get close to that? They're not going to take away the helmet, right? They're not going to go back to where they were wearing before helmets.
I keep hoping, and this is where you just have to be careful from having such a strong opinion on it. My opinion's based off of what I know now and what the research has said. That research could change tomorrow, though. You know, like, the more people you get looking into it, and, like, hopefully there becomes a cure. Like, I mean, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get, like, a vaccine that you literally put into a dude's skull, and it kills that protein. The protein's called tau.
Yeah.
I've read too much on this. Like, I'm way down this rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But, like, the what they want is that this vaccine will kill it and cure the symptoms of CTE. Amazing would that be? And then we don't have to talk about it.
Did you ever watch the Flintstones growing up?
I did watch the Flintstones.
Or the comic book. Maybe it was in the
Jetsons?
In the comic. No, in the Flintstones, like, it's in the comic. At some point in the history of that show, there was, like, this little green alien guy that got introduced in the series, and he had this gigantic-looking helmet on. That's what I picture of football. Like, eliminate CTE. How do you do it? You eliminate the brain hitting the skull.
Do you ever follow Malcolm Gladwell? Read his stuff?
Yep.
I heard him on a podcast. I think it was with Simmons, like, 2 years ago.
Yep.
And I thought it was an interesting – he's like a major anti-football guy. He thinks it's the stupidest, like we have all this evidence. Why do we keep doing it, et cetera? Which I don't go that far.
He's also a total geek, but okay. Yeah, he wasn't a player.
No.
Yeah.
For the record, I played football to a certain age too, so it's not like I love this. It's my favorite sport to sit down and watch.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
He had the idea where you have like a retirement age in the NFL, where when you hit like 38, you have to retire, or 35, you have to, like, that's just part of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And if we would do that, and if we would limit it to, like, you can't play tackle football until you're a freshman in high school or whatever.
Yeah.
He thought that that could be a...
Well, does retirement age even matter, though? I mean, the average NFL career is, like, 3 years.
I don't know.
Short.
That's a great... And what else, like, don't we know? What does alcohol and drug consumption have to do? So, like, a guy who drinks 12 beers every night, is he more likely to get CTE than a guy who's clean?
Yeah.
We don't know that, and maybe that's the case. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just hard for me to, like, have such a hard opinion on it because there's so much we don't know.
I do think, as someone that does enjoy football and watches, that I do think it's changed.
Do you watch it differently?
Yes. Yeah. I don't. I think they either need to say, which they're not because of lawsuits, but my preference would be, if you sign up for this, you're taking your life in your own hands, and you realize it's a dangerous sport, and you acknowledge that,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to go out there and you're going to play hard, and you're going to get hits, and you're going to get concussions, and that's what you're signing up for. That, to me, is better than we're going to try to remove the concussions because that changes the sport entirely. You know, now it's like, you're a defensive back. Good luck.
Are you okay, though?
What are you supposed to do?
I mean, it's a proven fact that kickoffs are the most dangerous play in football. Are you okay with getting rid of that because of it?
I think so, because anymore, there's so many touchbacks, it's becoming somewhat irrelevant.
Yeah.
So touchbacks are boring. Kicks out of the end zone, which is, I don't know what percentage, but it's high. Very high. Because they move the kick up.
Kickers are better, and they've moved
it. If every 2 out of 10 kickoffs is an actual return, I'm okay with eliminating that from the game. But where do you draw the line?
Yeah.
Punt returns have a certain danger element as well. I mean, it's different.
I just think that there's things like that that we think are a big deal, but I think, like, if they took kickoffs away, I don't know. I still think we would watch it.
It feels a little backyard to me, where you'd eliminate the kickoffs and just have the starting point.
Again, like, if we didn't have this to talk about, of course I'd rather have kickoffs. I mean, Devin Hester would have – that's it, that was his career, right?
Yeah.
A lot of guys have jobs because of
– Yep. Yep.
I don't know. It. There is a part of me – I'm just. It's just a moral being torn, because it's like, I do believe that some of these guys are out there killing themselves, but I also enjoy it, the hell out of it, so much.
The trade-off, and we're not talking college, the trade-off in the NFL is the money. They're making a choice. They're an adult. They're making a choice to make a living, and they realize it's dangerous. That isn't all that different, in my opinion, and this is a crazy example, but it's not all that different than somebody that chooses to work in a coal mine because it's going to pay the bills. I mean, there's danger to the job. That's just part of it. You realize there could be a cave-in, right? And you still do it. You could do something else.
And I would also, that's changed a lot too, because we learned a lot. Listen to the it's crazy you brought that up, because in Gladwell's latest podcast on CTE, it's like two episodes ago, he actually used that comparison about how we used to like just throw coal miners down there and like we.
Good luck.
But now we know it.
Here's your bucket.
Now we know it ruins their lungs.
Yep.
So we've changed a lot, and it's not a good way to do energy. And like,
yep.
That's just funny you brought that up. That means you're thinking like Malcolm Gladwell. Congratulations, Mark.
Well, there's worse people to think like. You know who else you should think like? Ryan Grove, as we're getting out of here for the day. Well, you don't have to think like Ryan Grove, but what you should do is call him.
Can I give him a shout out?
Yeah, that's what we're doing now.
He brought me a Vegas Golden Knights t-shirt for his recent trip to Vegas.
Did he actually go to the game?
No, he didn't go because the tickets were ridiculously priced. Yeah. But he heard me on the radio talking about them, and I appreciate that. Well, it's a really cool shirt, so thanks, Ryan.
Ryan might have been too cheap to buy tickets to the game, but he's not too cheap to throw a little bit of money towards the Fawcast. So in turn, let's actually support Ryan. If you guys need to buy or sell up in the Ames area, Ames, Nevada, Story City, Gilbert, Boone, anything north really of Huxley, Ryan's your guy. Ryan works at Hunziker.com. Hopefully someone's reached out to Ryan by now. But if they haven't, that's okay. There's still plenty of time. People buy and sell houses when the need comes up. They don't go out and do it just because they feel like they should for no apparent reason. So if you need to get a hold of Ryan, he's easy to Google. Ryan Grove, Hunziker, Ames. Or you can get a hold of me and do it as well. But we appreciate Ryan supporting the program and hope that you support Ryan as well. I think we're back next week. Hopefully.
Yeah, next week is I'm not sure what day it will be. I have a crazy week next week, but we'll make sure and have a podcast for you guys in one way or another.
I'm off to lunch at the Olive Garden. We gave you guys, I think we gave them 48 minutes. If they don't like that, they can spin.
It's interesting. Of all the places you can go, you're choosing the Olive Garden.
I like the fettuccine alfredo with grilled chicken. I like that up there. That's what I go there for.
It's a lot of carbs.
And then they give me a Andy's candy at the end of the meal, which is a nice little dessert. Not very big. Doesn't make me fat. So the meal does. Other than that, I'm off to lunch, and we'll see you guys next week.
All right, perfect. Thanks for listening, everybody. Happy Father's Day to the fathers out there.